ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Later today, Australian time, the United Nations General Assembly will vote on whether to recognise Palestine as a member of the body. It'd be a significant step towards a two-state solution between Palestine and Israel, something the federal government maintains is the only pathway to peace in the Middle East. Penny Wong is the foreign minister and she joins the program this morning. Penny Wong, welcome.
Good morning, Patricia. Good to be with you.
How will Australia vote when the motion on Palestinian statehood comes before the UN General Assembly later today?
Well, can I first start by just setting out some of the developments that have occurred over the last period? Some weeks ago, you might recall I gave a speech where I outlined the way in which the international community, that countries were looking to progress a two-state solution as a pathway to long-term peace in the Middle East. Obviously, Australia has long supported a two-state solution, that is a Palestinian state alongside the State of Israel. What we expect tonight is a resolution at the United Nations that will express the view of the General Assemblies that Palestine should become a member of the UN. Now, ultimately, that is something that has to be determined by the Security Council under the UN Charter. That this was voted on at the Security Council in the period since I gave that speech, and the majority of the Security Council did support Palestinian admission as a member of the UN. Obviously, it was vetoed by the US. Coming to your question, we will consider the final resolution that comes before the General Assembly. Obviously, countries are still negotiating. Text is changing. I got advice about new text overnight.
And what was that
There is a lot of negotiation and discussion, and we will look at what the text says. We will look at what the actual meaning of the resolution is. We will look at, and we are focused on, the situation on the ground. We want a humanitarian ceasefire. We want the release of hostages. We want increased humanitarian aid. And obviously, we will be speaking to our friends and partners internationally, because we want to work with others as we try and encourage lasting peace in this region.
What are the conditions that you have to vote yes? What needs to be in the text to ensure your support?
Well, I think it comes back to the general principle, doesn't it? You know, what does the resolution mean? Does the resolution contribute towards lasting peace? Does the resolution demonstrate some progress towards a two-state solution? Well, let's remember, we do need, as an international community, after months of what we have seen in Gaza, after the horrific attacks by Hamas, a terrorist group, which is has as its objective the destruction of the State of Israel, we do need to think about what is a long-term process which delivers security for Israel and for the Palestinian people.
So there have been reports that you're leaning towards an abstention. If you were to abstain, what would that mean?
Well, look, I don't want to speculate about our vote, because...
But is it abstention seen as sitting on the fence? Is that how you see it?
Well, I think an abstention generally means you can agree in part with the resolution, but not with sufficient, not with all of it, or not with the sufficient extent of the resolution for you to vote for it. So it can send a message that whilst you don't agree with it in full, you're not going to stand in the way. So abstentions are a common diplomatic position that countries take on matters. For example, the Security Council vote that I described, where 12 out of 15 Security Council members voted in favour of admitting Palestine as a member of the United Nations, there were two abstentions, and they were the United Kingdom and Switzerland. So it isn't an uncommon approach that countries can take.
A few of our listeners are texting in saying, why wouldn't you vote yes, given what you've said about supporting through the process rather than waiting to the end recognition of Palestine?
Look, I understand that question, just as I understand your questions from those who don't want us to deal with it at this time. I think one of the things we are aware of and thinking about is the timing and the situation on the ground. We know Hamas is still holding hostages. We want to look at the wording of the resolution to make sure we are being responsible in what we commit to. We are obliged to look to the UN Charter, and the resolution would have to be consistent with the Charter and, of course, of working with our partners. But your listeners, what I would say to them is, you know, Australia does support a two-state solution. It's not a question of if we will recognise a Palestinian state. It is a question of when.
OK, but if you were to vote no or abstain, wouldn't it be viewed by people who are pushing for a Palestinian state and a two-state solution or a stronger line on Palestine as your reluctance?
I understand in this debate that people have such strong views on both sides that any action or words by government is construed as either being at one end or the other of this debate. You've spoken to me many times over the years, Patricia, and you know I always try and bring a more nuanced discussion about what is really happening rather than getting drawn into, you know, the hard edges of a debate. Unfortunately, in this country, we see too much of this discussion, which is being looked at by those who basically say you're either with us or against us. And everything is black and white and simple. Regrettably, that is not what is happening in the Middle East, and regrettably, that is not how we should be looking at this. Well, not regrettably, I'm saying regrettably that this discussion prevents people from seeing, you know, what we are actually trying to do and what countries are genuinely trying.
What do you say to the argument that it is rewarding Hamas to either abstain or to vote yes?
Well, let's remember the two-state solution, that is Palestinian state alongside the State of Israel, is actually the opposite of what Hamas wants. You know, Hamas wants conflict. This is about long-term peace. Hamas wants to destroy Israel. This is about long-term security for Israel. So what I would say is actually progress towards the two-state solution is the opposite of what Hamas wants.
You mentioned that Hamas is still holding hostages and concern around the timing here. Is the timing such a worry for Australia that you are reluctant to vote yes?
Well, I think you're trying to draw me on what
yes,
will do.
Yes, it is my job.
Well, yes, I know. Of course it is. But I'm very frank with you. You know, this is what we are looking at. These are the principles and issues we have to consider, and we will make a decision when we see the final resolution on the basis of the principles you and I have discussed.
Do you welcome President Biden's decision to pause a shipment of bombs bound for Israel and the statements he's made around an in ground incursion in Rafah?
Well, I have made very clear statements about Australia's views about the risk of and deep concern, grave concerns about a widespread ground invasion in Rafah. I've been clear about our objections to an Israeli ground offensive into Rafah. We have reiterated this to Israel again in this last week. As you know, more than half of the Gazan population is seeking shelter in Rafah from fighting elsewhere. I think that many countries have said similar things to Israel, and the fact that you have an American president making the statements President Biden has been making is an indication of the extent and depth of the concern of the international community.
The Greens are calling for Israel's ambassador to be expelled from Australia if Israel goes ahead with a major ground incursion. Is that something you'd do?
No, we are not going to be doing that.
Why not?
Well, because we have diplomatic relationships with countries in many circumstances. We may not agree with everything that those countries do, but we believe engagement is important. Australia also has a long-standing relationship with Israel. a long-standing relationship over many years, I would make the point, we also have diplomatic relationships with Putin's Russia. We have diplomatic relationship with Iran. The reality is, this is just the Greens yet again trying to set out a much more extreme position in order to create political conflict, which is how they have approached this entire discussion.
There's a lot of unrest in Australia at the moment in relation to the issue around Gaza and the war there. University encampments, of course, have become a big theme. Oh. The Prime Minister has said he has a problem with the chant from the river to the sea. Do you?
I've always believed what that says is contrary to a two-state solution. I've been clear about that. Whatever context in which it's been used, and it's been used by, I think, both sides of the argument, what it expresses is a view that is not consistent with a two-state solution. I support a two-state solution. I support security and peace for both Israelis and Palestinians.
Do you think some of the language being used on campuses is anti-Semitic?
Yes, I do.
What do you find anti-Semitic, and are Jewish students safe on Australian campuses?
Well, I would say this. Universities have to ensure that they are safe spaces for all students, regardless of who they are. Secondly, we do have a right to peaceful protest in this country. And people are entitled to protest in support of their views in a democracy. But in the speech that I gave, that I referred to at the beginning of this interview, I spoke not only about Israel and Palestine, I spoke about social cohesion. And one of the things I said is we seem to be losing the capacity in this country to disagree without diminishing the other. And that is a bad thing for our democracy, and it's something we have to guard against, all of us, including those who don't have strong views about this issue. We must defend people's right to disagree respectfully. We must ensure that we don't diminish each other in how we disagree. And there is too much of that, not only on campuses, but in our parliament and amongst our politicians. The diminution of the other, the personal denigration, and the tenor of the language used by some in this debate, I think, is irresponsible.
Do you support an inquiry into anti-Semitism on campuses, which has been proposed by the opposition?
I think we'll look at what they're proposing. If the objective is to actually try and generate social cohesion, then I'd be supportive. But if the objective is to create conflict and division, I think that's a problem. So I would hope that if the opposition are genuine in trying to further a more harmonious country, a less divided country, then they would look at terms of reference that would look at how all students feel safe on campus, whether they are, whether they are Jewish or whether they are of the Islamic faith.
In the speech you've referenced, you talked about the international community moving to recognise Palestine, not at the end of the process, but earlier. Is that now Australia's position in terms of what our country will do, and when will it happen?
Well, I do think Australia has traditionally, as have other countries, traditionally taken the view that we should recognise at the end of a negotiated process. Well, decades down the track, I think the international community is shifting to thinking about how recognition might contribute to peace. So that is my view, that we should recognise when we think we can make our maximum contribution to progress towards a two-state solution. Can I say, however, there is a distinction between this vote in the United Nations and bilateral recognition, that is recognition by Australia, and one does not necessarily lead to the other at the same time.
Just on a couple of other issues briefly, China's National Defence Spokesman has accused Australia of spying, and that Australia was acting provocatively. You've been criticised, your government has been criticised, the Prime Minister has been criticised for being too weak in your language in relation to China, for referring to it as unprofessional conduct. Have you been too weak in denouncing this dangerous action from China?
Well, first, can I say very clearly that we stand by what we have said and by what the Australian Defence Force has indicated occurred in relation to this incident. The Prime Minister and the Deputy Prime Minister have been clear about the unacceptable and unsafe conduct that took place while Australian forces were contributing to the enforcement of UN Security Council sanctions against North Korea. And we stand by the assessment of the Chief of the Defence Force that the ADF were behaving professionally and appropriately. But what I want to make two points. First, I have been clear in my meetings with senior Chinese officials, including Minister Liu and Foreign Minister Wang Yi, that Australia would continue to operate in international airspace and international waters, and that we would continue to call out, including publicly, where that we believe that the conduct did not meet the standards that were necessary. I know that Peter Dutton has always wanted to talk tough rather than being tough. I would make the point that this government has been consistent in what I have said, that is, we have continued to operate in international airspace and international waters in accordance with international law, and in fact for the first time had joint maritime exercises in the South China Sea with the Philippines, Japan and the United States, something which never occurred under Peter Dutton.
What's your message to the Labor MPs who are very angry about your gas plan and say you are letting the country down, we need to decarbonise?
We do need to decarbonise, I agree with them. I think the point of the gas strategy which has been released has been to point out how we'd make that transition and that gas is a necessary part of that
but
transition.
But they don't agree and it's a big backbench revolt.
Yeah, I would again make the point, which I believe the gas strategy makes, which is that we are not investing in gas. What we are investing in is renewables, and you will see more of that. I've just recently been, over the last couple of days, in Tuvalu, Pacific Island country, with whom Australia has signed a landmark treaty. And the point I made there is, you know, we have a very large ship to turn around. You know, we are seeking to move from, I think, a couple of years ago, just over 30% of renewables in our electricity grid to in excess of 80% by the end of the decade. Now, that is a big transition. It is an ambitious transition. And there's only one party of government committed to doing it.
Penny Wong, thanks for joining us.
Good to speak with you.
That's the Foreign Minister, Penny Wong.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.